Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. I believe the Eagles are going to take a residency at the Sphere.
Oh, nice.
In Las Vegas. Did you see any of the NHL? I know you didn't.
No.
The NHL draft was held there.
Oh, really?
It was pretty cool. I didn't watch a ton of it, but the pieces that I did see, I'd like to go see it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going to see it this trip. But
we got a busy one.
Yeah, we do. Tuesday, Wednesday, back Thursday. For Big 12 Media Days, Ollie Gordon is supposed to be there. He's one of the players for Oklahoma State, but he's not going to be there.
Probably not.
I don't think he could do this. No, he shouldn't. He forfeited the trip when he decided to get behind the wheel. Anyways, get off my soapbox. So I don't think he'll be there. All right, so you had a problem with the Big 12 poll.
No.
It surprised me.
Hot take radio. Here it comes. No. I said if you had one disagreement, where would be your biggest disagreement? I'm with you, Utah, Kansas State. I think if I was voting, I would pick Kansas State.
Over Utah?
Just because Utah in a new league.
Yeah.
A lot of new faces, you get used to seeing the same teams mm-hmm. and the coaching staff and all that. I'm a big Whittingham fan.
Yep.
I like the program. And do we know Cam Rising? He was supposed to be back throughout a lot of last season.
Yes, he was. And he wasn't.
I got to see.
Mm-hmm.
I would have, yes, the 1-2 the same, but I would just have it flip-flopped and have K-State mm-hmm. 1 and Utah 2. But that aside, you know, I like
Arizona's roster, Trent, is now in Washington.
Right. That's the one that I'm struggling to wrap mm-hmm. my mind around.
I like their coach, Brennan. I mean, he's highly decorated coach.
He won at San Jose State. Did. That's almost impossible to do.
He did. He won a lot of games there.
That's as difficult of a job as you're going to find at the FBS level. Mm-hmm. And that's what a good job that he
did. What about Kansas not having a home venue? Is Arrowhead really...
Might be a better venue than what they've had. I mean, it could be.
Yeah.
Depends on what kind of numbers.
Is it easier to get Jayhawk fans to Arrowhead?
Maybe. There's probably a lot more overall fans living in Kansas City as opposed to
Make
Lawrence.
The drive. Yeah. I know that that Iowa State fans are going to take over.
Yes,
what is the first weekend of November or the second? First, because they play, don't they play Kansas, Cincy, Utah, K-State's their final four.
You know, I love Oklahoma State. I got all kinds of wagers. I'm all over mm-hmm. them. I have them covered mm-hmm. every which way, both to get into the championship and then to win the championship.
And their schedule's pretty conducive.
Tough early.
Is it? What do they have early?
Tougher early than it is late. All right, let's bring that up. Oklahoma State.
They've got Utah to begin Big 12 play. Oh, back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Home to Utah, at K-State, and then West Virginia at BYU, not easy. At Baylor, should win. Arizona State at home, should win. At TCU, Texas Tech, Colorado.
Yeah. And if they could split one of those first two games.
If they split with Utah and K-State, mm-hmm. they're going to probably, Trent, I'm with you.
They're going to be in a great position.
Yep, they are.
7-2 get you a spot in the conference championship game? Two teams aren't going 8-1.
I don't think
These teams are all too close.
How about 7-2 gets you into tiebreakers with somebody else?
Do they have them figured out? That is going to be my question. Is going to be my question when we're talking to
Brett Yormark or whoever. Yeah, we won't talk to Yormark because we'll be on the air.
But whoever, schedule maker, a commissioner, mm-hmm. Emeritus, whatever it is, that is going to be my question. Is this thing actually buttoned up? Because it wasn't. They said that it was. But then they changed it in the flight in November a year ago.
Right.
Because this doesn't exactly work. And this is not a Big 12 problem.
No, this is a college football problem.
This is a college football problem.
Divisions are gone.
It is going to be an absolute mess.
Did they overreact by doing away with divisions?
No doubt. Not a doubt in my mind. And people laugh at pod systems. I think pod systems
would have been fine, yeah.
And why not have?
And this isn't Trent Condon missing the Big Ten West. And I get why he would.
Right.
But I think overall, I think college football is going to miss out on that.
Yes.
I think
absolutely.
The SEC is.
Yes.
I think the Big 12, I think they all should.
You have something realistic to shoot for. It's a realistic goal.
Win your division.
Win your division. And now, hopefully we win the tiebreaker.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully. Hang that banner.
All right, Iowa State. Boy, we won the final game of the season. All right, we're in great shape. We're going. If TCU beats them and then Central Florida beats them, and all right, that puts their record then at 3-2 against common opponents. No. Because there's going to be some teams in that tied group that maybe didn't play anybody in that group.
Yeah.
And you don't know.
Right.
There's another team that went 1-0. There's another team that went 3-1. This is going to be an absolute mess. And it's going to happen in the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 and the Big 10. When you have this few games with this many teams, these tiebreakers are going to be a disaster. That aside, my biggest problem of the poll would have to be UCF. I think they should be in the top five. I would bump.
Because of KJ Jefferson?
KJ Jefferson, just the way that Malzahn, he's built this roster. They're ready in year number two, I believe, to make a
So who do you bump out? You have to bump somebody out.
Arizona.
You take out Arizona.
I would have Arizona. I don't think I'd have Arizona in my top half.
Really?
Yeah. I would have them certainly eighth or lower. I have Iowa State above them. I have UCF above them. I have West Virginia above them. And then in that middle tier, I'm trying to figure out. I want to take a shot, right, at somebody. Throw a couple bucks down on Texas Tech, a TCU.
I thought it was Texas Tech year last year.
Yes, you did. You bought that one, hook, line, and sinker. I thought it was Baylor.
Yeah.
They were even worse.
They were worse.
But a team like that, and I just haven't been able to identify that team yet. That's why we go to media days, though, and hopefully I'll have that team that I will identify.
I like Arizona more than you do. I like their quarterback, Fafita. They lost a lot, though. There's a lot now that's playing in the Big Ten. Sounds weird, right? But that's where Washington resides.
Big 12.
No, Washington.
Washington.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Arizona.
Arizona's in the Big 12.
Yes.
I just saw a rundown. Somebody just listed everybody moving, and it included football and then basketball with all the mini realignment that we've seen, like the Summit League. You see what that looks like now?
I had to stop somewhere.
It's bewildering trying to wrap your mind around just all the changes that we're seeing. We talk about it at the biggest levels of the sport, but even at the smallest levels. And there was a map that showed the closest Power Four now university to each of the counties in America. And I love those big maps and just looking. And there's a pocket. No, it also included basketball because the Big East was involved. And there is one county in Minnesota that the closest power conference program is the Big East.
In the state of Minnesota?
Now, it is in southwest Minnesota. But yes, Creighton, because they're in the Big East. That is the that is closer to Omaha than it is Minneapolis in that little pocket
wild.
There. Yeah, just look at I love those little just weird kind of intricacies that you find in that one. But it was just bewildering. But the biggest thing was seeing ACC. What's all this color over? Oh, yeah. Mm. Colin Stanford.
Makes zero sense to me. All right, Colbert coming up. We'll talk to Colbert. He will join us. We'll get the latest on you and I. We'll pick his brain on, you know what, on obviously mid-majors and what they have to do. It's re-recruit their roster every year, if this year is any indication, because that's what it was for Drake. That's what it was for most of the schools in the Valley. I mean, anybody that was anybody in the Valley last year, if you had any kind of season, in the Valley, not just last year, well, yet last year in particular, but even going back the year before, those teams get poached, and this isn't going to end, sadly. I mean, and if you're a booster, if you're a backer of a Drake, of a UNI, of fill in the blank, are you really going to want to, you know, dig deep in your pocket and help rebuild the roster, knowing that that roster that you rebuilt this year with guys that should have eligibility for a couple of years, they're leaving for brighter pastures and obviously more NIL money? Going to be difficult. Let's get Colbert in here. He joins us. Cole, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. 1650 KZNZ and, of course, Cedar Rapids, where you cover the Panther for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Cole. Saw the tweet this morning and regarding the offensive coordinator at UNI, Luke Falk. And, look, we see this periodically, but we don't see it very often on July the 2nd. But there were two of them today, right? Blake Anderson, who was out at Utah State. And then this Luke Falk story that happened right on the heels of the Blake Anderson story. I know they're not related. But what can you tell us? What's behind this? Any idea, Cole? Welcome to the program, by the way.
Yeah, good to be with you guys. Yeah, I can add a little additional context to the original tweet. from about an hour ago, reporting that Luke Falk is no longer with the UNI football program as its offensive coordinator. It, just as you guys would well understand, there was some medical privacy issues as it relates to this issue, and it's a family health matter.
Oh, okay.
That is the reason for Luke Falk's departure from the program, is to tend to a family health matter. As I was putting the story together, I got it out there the best way I knew possible with respect to his family's privacy, but then have been able to add a little bit of context in speaking with a representative within the athletic department there. So I tweeted that out about 15 minutes ago, that it's due to that family health matter, and no additional details are likely to become available, of course, due to the privacy for his family. But the other thing I can add as well is that, as I had put in the first tweet, that Northern Arizona pass game coordinator Joel Filani has since been hired to Mark Farley's staff. His role, his title, has not yet been defined, but what's most important to know about Joel Filani is that he played wide receiver for Mike Leach at Texas Tech, and then he also coached for a season on Leach's staff at Washington State. So in terms of the best replacement you could find for having installed this Mike Leach air raid offense, Coach Farley and his staff did an outstanding job, I would say, on paper, of finding somebody to most identically fill the shoes that Luke Falk departed.
So what's the thought process? I mean, it's been a successful program. It hasn't had the heights of South Dakota State and North Dakota State, but to go with almost a completely new system in, what, year 25 of Mark Farley, just a guy that you think of old school, the walk-on from walk-on, that tough physical brand of football, and changing on the fly here this late in the game, it just seems like, is it one last hope to see, can we track down the Dakotas and get back to the upper echelon of the Missouri Valley Football Conference?
Yeah, Mark Farley began to say just a little bit, maybe three, four seasons ago, that how offenses in the Big Sky Conference out west in the FCS really began to change the subdivision, and that his idea, seemingly since some of those powerful, wide-open offenses came to be in the Big Sky, has been, if you can meld that style of offense with the black and blue toughness of a traditional Missouri Valley Conference defense, then you're really going to be on to something. And guys, if we go back a couple seasons ago, when Theo Day frankly put up video game numbers with Bodie Reeder, who came out of the Big Sky Conference as a play caller for Eastern Washington, I mean, Theo Day just threw a few too many interceptions last season, and UNI's defense, you know, took a step or two back during that time. But the offense saw a revival under Bodie Reeder, and so it made sense to me that Mark Farley wanted to keep an open offense after Reeder departed and took a job at Middle Tennessee. So he goes out and he gets, you know, guys that played and coached for Mike Leach. It's not the same offense as Bodie Reeder, but I mean, it's quite similar. It's going to be a wide-open offense that, if it's working correctly, it's going to lean toward the pass. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, what can you take any sort of detail and level of execution to in college football right now because of roster turnover, but these are supposed to be offenses that are not too intricate. You know, they're not these pro-style intricate offenses. Coach Farley realizes that having a easily teachable offense is more important than ever right now in college football.
Speaking of roster turnover, let's go there. And seemingly every Valley team in basketball this year, men's basketball, had a whole lot of roster turnover. And sadly, Cole, I think that this is only the beginning as far as, you know, some of the big schools coming to poach some of the talent from the Valley and leagues of their ilk, which is really unfortunate because for a number of reasons, particularly for the coaches, but they're well paid and they're to recruit, etc. But it's the fans, right, that you want to get a guy or a gal in your program that you think's going to be there, you know, 4 years, 3 years you know, if they're really good, they're going to move on. But now you have to recruit year after year. If you get a kid that comes out of nowhere and has a phenomenal year, there's a pretty good chance that that player is going to be somewhere else when college basketball rolls around again next November. How's Ben Jacobson handling this? Do you think that this might push him towards retirement quicker than it would remain status quo if he didn't have to go through this exercise seemingly year after year after year, Cole?
I don't think it's going to be pushing him towards retirement sooner than what he may have planned. I had him on my show in the spring after he had to go out and recruit like never before, because what's important to point out here is that the transfer phenomenon has been around for a while, but Ben Jacobson's program, one of just a handful in the country, that if you go back one off season from now, they didn't have any transfers. So they've been somewhat immune to it, not completely, but they've almost stood alone in that regard. Well, you know, they finally got hit with the wave of it this past off season. So Ben Jacobson had to bury himself into recruiting in the spring, unlike he's ever had to before. Other coaches were encountered by this, you know, go back as far as half a decade ago when they were having to completely rebuild their rosters in the spring. But Ben Jacobson, when I spoke with him, he seemed, you know, he acknowledged that this has changed, but at the same time, he didn't seem to have any angst toward it. He was very happy with the guys that they ended up with, and that's, of course, going to be a big question for people following the program closely, knowing that, yeah, they do have an NIL collective, but it's not going to be as formidable as a lot of others across the country. They got a really good Division II player who was a Conference Player of the Year in Max Weisbrod out of Michigan. I do know that a part of his recruiting process as a Division II talent did not involve any negotiations of an NIL deal. Now, that's not to say that maybe since he's come on campus, or maybe since, you know, or maybe when he proves himself as a fixture in the rotation this season, that some of that may come his way. But that's an interesting note, I think, not just for you and I, but for all mid-major programs across the country, that for every Power 5 program that's going to dip into the mid-majors, now what you're going to see and have seen, if you look close enough, is for every UNI and Illinois State and Drake, they're going to be, and it's incumbent upon them, frankly, to be scouting Division II players like never before. And so along with that, they're also able to get the Power 5 guys that have seen their roles diminish. They go to a university like Leon Bond did at Virginia as a highly regarded recruit. His role didn't materialize in a way that he envisioned it. Same with Ben Schwieger, who comes to UNI from Loyola Chicago. He transfers to UNI because there is a role there for him. So there is give and take to all this. Ben Jacobson, just, you know, him encountering it came a little bit later than a lot of other coaches. And I think the Panthers are in a good spot to contend in the Missouri Valley Conference, despite the challenges that not just them, everybody's facing with roster turnover.
Going to be a completely different look. Obviously, Drake with the new coaching staff, Indiana State with the new coaching staff, and UNI doesn't maintain status quo. Bowen Bourne moves on. But boy, you talk about some of those newcomers. There's excitement to be there. What we get around to preseason pub is, are the Panthers going to be, what, a top 3-4 pick in your mind in the MVC poll, or are they still going to be kind of more wait and see with some of the losses that they had?
I'd like to think they'd be a top 5 pick for sure. Okay. There's a chance, I would say, that maybe it's 3 or 4. I think last year what we all learned was that that group of players was a 3rd through 5th place group in the Missouri Valley Conference. With respect to them, because a lot of those guys had been on a Missouri Valley Conference regular season title team. So championship caliber players, albeit, of course, that was when A.J. Green was still around. But nonetheless, as time went on, they were still a good team, just, you know, not quite as good as maybe Panther fans would have hoped in terms of contending for a championship. So I would anticipate, Trent, that you're looking at the Panthers somewhere between 3rd and 5th, maybe 3rd and 6th when it's preseason poll time.
Colbert, love having you on, Cole. Appreciate it. Thank you for jumping on short notice. We saw that tweet this morning. Thought we needed to develop that further. Cedar Rapids Gazette is where you can read them. You can hear them on 1650 KZNZ, the birthplace of Trent Condon's sports talk radio right. career. Cole, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate it, Cole. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you, Cole. Good stuff out of Colbert. So, unfortunately, some personal stuff, health issues surrounding somebody in the Falk family. We won't pry any further, nor should they disclose any more information that's personal.
One thing I hadn't realized, so Cole Henry, backup big guy for him, and watching him in Oskaloosa, him playing with Xavier Foster, I thought Cole Henry was going to be a star in the Missouri Valley. And it just didn't quite click. Never got big enough. He ended up in Wyoming. I was surprised by that. Going to play out in the Mountain West and finish up his career there. I've heard a lot of good things about that Leon Bond, the kid from Virginia, just played quite a bit as a freshman for a Virginia team. It wasn't pretty in the NCAA tournament, but that was an NCAA tournament team. I mean, you had a guy.
We've seen Virginia players transfer into the state of Iowa and do very well in the past. Not saying he's Mariel Shayok.
Right. it's gone pretty well. Paul Jesperson.
Is that where he came from?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, hit a heave just to win an NCAA tournament game.
There's that.
Yeah. Yeah, Virginia's been kind here to the state of Iowa. I think the most intriguing thing basketball-wise for the Panthers, though, is the two guys he talked about that don't come from the major conference era. Bringing in a kid from D2 that was player of the year in that league, how that's going to translate. Dalton Knecht, I'm not saying he's Dalton Knecht, but making that big jump up and began his career at JUCO and what he turned into in a first-round NBA pick.
So does this give Drake a little bit of a foot in the door with McCollum's resume?
I think that's a really good way to look at it. Is that's going to be a step forward. And one other thing, we didn't get to it when we were talking football with him. You looked at the Panthers football schedule, right?
I haven't.
Okay, so open up Valpo, they'll kill him.
Okay,
get him in the Unidome, then they go up to St. Paul to take on St. Thomas. Okay, they should be 2-0.
Yeah,
then look at this three game swing to Nebraska.
So I knew they played them. Yeah,
that week after, there's no bye. The week after, they go to Hawaii.
Wow,
that's right. They do get a bye week, but after that bye week, they welcome in the two-time defending national champion, the Jackrabbits from South Dakota State. How about that three-game swing? There can't be a team in certainly at the FCS level that has anything like that at Nebraska, at Hawaii.
So will you find an illegal fee to watch the Hawaii game?
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing you will.
No doubt.
We'll talk some Cardinals next with Brian Walton. Trent's Plays of the Day. Circ Sports sponsors those. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. One of the better stories of the first half of the Major League Baseball season from where we sit. Your Twins are off to a bad start, but they're playing better now. Mm-hmm. Same with the Cardinals. I don't want to say we buried him and left him.
We did
bury him. We'd thrown the dirt.
I was ready. They looked awful.
You had the shoveler. I probably would have been shoveling along with you. But they're playing a lot better now, and they're in the playoffs, and away we go. And Ryan Helsley, what a start. He's Brian Walton, CardinalNation.com, joins us. What a start to the season, Brian. This has to be 30 saves? I can't. And we're not even at the All-Star break. Has there been a closer with the Cardinals that has ever chalked up 30 saves before the All-Star break? I would be surprised if there has been.
Well, there's only been one, and his name's Lee Smith.
He wasn't bad.
It was 40 years ago in 1993. So, it's rarefied air. And what the Cardinals have done differently with Helsley this year than in the past. Prior to 2024, if they had a situation in the eighth inning, they might have Helsley come in and get four or five outs. And they found that his effectiveness dropped off after he had to sit through that top of the ninth inning, for example. So what they've done this year is said, all right, you're pitching the final inning only. That's it. Come in and get those three outs and close the game. And he's 30 for 30, tops in Major League Baseball. And, this streak is, 30 in a row is the team record all time. And, it's the most in the Major League since Josh Hader, who used to be with Milwaukee, had 32 back a few years ago. And he's got, Helsley already has 12 saves, had 12 saves in the month of June, which is, exceptional. And he's certainly one reason why the Cardinals have, as you said, have at least moderately turned around their season.
Bullpen has been as a whole very good this season, and having a back end like that certainly is going to help things out. As we look forward to the trade deadline, as long as they remain in it and look like they're going to be buyers come in the trade deadline, What are the pieces we're looking at? What are the most realistic options and some of the ideas that would make sense to solidify this 26-man roster?
Well, there's a lot of folks who would like to see the Cardinals add an additional starter. Mm-hmm. Steven Matz, who, of course, was signed to a multi-year deal several years ago, has his extended period out, maybe back in August, may not be. Andre Pallande's been up and down as the number five guy. But the reason the Cardinals are struggling, why they're only, you know, three games over 500, is the offense. They went 4-3 last week while only scoring 17 runs in seven games. Jeez. And the Cardinals still had a winning record. But it's hard to make the necessary changes because the guys who aren't producing are the guys who are getting paid the big money to produce. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about Goldschmidt and Arenado. And then also on the younger player side, Nolan Gorman, who's shown plenty of power but is striking out at a major league high 36% rate. And so the Cardinals need the middle-of-the-order guys that they have to perform better. They also might go out and look at an outfielder. They've had, you know, their starting outfield for the year being expected to be Newt Barr, Edmund, and Jordan Walker. Two of them are hurt, and one of them's in AAA. So the Cardinals could use more production from their offense, but Alec Burleson and Michael Ciani have really stepped up and played yes. well there. So, and the Cardinals could also, you know, potentially try to strengthen their bullpen, because while the core of their rotation has been good, they're putting a lot of miles on their setup men.
So obviously, Helsley would be the MVP of the first half of the year, right, if there was such an award. If it's not him, could you make a case that it's Brendan Donovan? I mean, Mason Wood's been phenomenal as well, but Donovan's been, I didn't see this coming. Did you?
I did. Donovan's been a good player for a long time, for now several years. And, you know, he's been so important because he can play multiple positions. He can play pretty much anywhere in the infield, and Donovan can also play the corner outfield. And so when I mentioned when Newt Barr went on the shelf and the outfield looked like in shambles, then Donovan was able to step in. But, you know, a guy that I talked down last time we were together, Alec Burleson,
yeah.
we can't sell him short either. I mean, he has 13 go-ahead RBIs this year and 8 game-winning RBIs, and those are both the most in the Cardinals. So Alec Burleson's been a guy that when he's hit, they've been in important situations and have helped the Cardinals. So these young players are really stepping up, but again, you know, the Arenados and Goldschmidts aren't carrying, you know, their load.
All right, the old guy, Matt Carpenter. Speaking of throwing dirt on somebody, I was very much there, and he's at least been okay for the last couple of weeks, last month really, overall. Is this a dead cat bounce, or has he figured something out and at least at minimum becoming once again a useful DH for them?
Yeah, I think Matt Carpenter, you know, is pretty much what he is at this point. He certainly wasn't going to be as bad as he looked like at the beginning of the year. But you don't want to have to depend on playing Matt Carpenter every day. Yeah. And when Newt Barr comes back, which looks like is going to be pretty soon, he's already playing in rehab games down in AA, that will give the Cardinals some additional flexibility, and probably Matt Carpenter will go back to the bench and be more of a part-time player. But, you know, he's, to his credit, you know, he's stepped up and performed well. And he was partially brought in to provide leadership as well. But what he's done is he's blocked Luke and Baker, who is a first baseman who's just, you know, punishing the ball down in AAA. And, you know, Matt Carpenter does provide some limitations in the roster in that you don't really want to play him in the field, or if you do, it can only be at first base, really.
We obviously the regional teams, the with the Cubs and the Royals and the Twins and the Cardinals moving the needle. The Twins are 6 games back of the Guardians. The Cardinals are 6 games back of the Brewers. I'm trying to figure out which of those two teams that are pursuing the division leader at this point have a better chance to run them down. What are the Cardinals' chances of running down the Brewers, do you think, Brian?
It's going to take Milwaukee to take a step backward, I think. And the Brewers, to their credit, have been playing consistently well. You know, if they get Devin Williams back, you know, that'll be a huge boon to their bullpen. I don't think the Cardinals are going to go out and make any dramatic moves. They'll make some tuning moves, maybe. I don't know as much about the Twins, but I know that they're 10 games over 500.
Yep.
And, you know, the Cardinals would die to be in that situation. So, you know, the Twins are much more solid in terms of their playoff position in that they're the top wild card right now, where the Cardinals are the third wild card at this particular moment.
Hey, had a question from a Cardinal buddy of mine. He said, next time that you have Walton on, ask him about Tink Hentz and youngster, one of their top prospects, and if he's a guy that could help out this year.
The Cardinals have had injuries at AAA. Sam Roberta, who was excellent the first month and thought he was going to be a guy to help St. Louis is on the injured list. Now, Zach Thompson, the lefty, went on the injured list the other day. So Memphis needs starters, and you would think Tink Hentz down there in AA would be the guy to move up. The problem is Tink Hentz only threw three innings last month. He started one game at the beginning of the month and one game at the end of the month for AA Springfield, and both times he left the field with a trainer. So now, on the other side of the coin, the Cardinals have named Hentz to go to the Futures game, which will be happening here in a couple weeks, for the second straight year representing the Cardinals. So obviously Hentz isn't hurt that badly, but something's not right with Tink Hentz in that he only threw three innings in the entire month of June, and he's not in a position right now where he can even help AAA, let alone potentially help the major league team.
Is there anything in you, Brian, that makes you feel bad for the Cubs season so far?
No, not a thing. You know, I will tell you one thing, though. You know, managers get an inordinate amount of blame when things go poorly and an inordinate amount of credit when things go well.
Yeah.
And the Cubs, you know, their major acquisition this year was to go out and get ostensibly the best manager in baseball. But if you don't have the roster to back it up, you know, it doesn't matter who the manager is. And that's, you know, Council is taking a lot of heat in Chicago. But I guarantee you if they brought back Yogi Berra from the dead, it wouldn't make the difference.
Yeah, I don't think it would either.
Who do you like, at least for this year, of the younger clubs, the Pirates and the Reds, of those two squads, who do you think maybe has the most sustainability to fight and stay in the race throughout the course of August and into September?
I like the Pirates a bit better, and we'll see. You know, the Cardinals are coming up with a big series starting tonight in Pittsburgh, and you know, you can't count the Pirates out. They have done exceptionally well, you know, pulling together a young pitching staff and some good young hitters, and they're not far away from competing. Cincinnati, you know, just seems to be so up and down, and they've had some injuries this year. There's no doubt about it. But if I had to pick between those two, I like Pittsburgh.
I'll take the one that has Paul Skeens.
Yeah. He's for how long this year, though?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Brian Walton, thecardinalnation.com, thecardinalnation.com. Brian, have a good fourth. We'll catch you after the All-Star break. Appreciate you coming on, Brian, giving us a Cardinals update. They're right back in the race and find themselves in the wild card, have a little bit of cushion. That's only a game and a half, but they're a little bit of cushion in the playoff race right now. Brian, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate it.
Talk to you next time, guys.
Yep, see you, Brian. Brian Walton, CardinalNation.com, as we check in on those playoff-bound Cardinals. I didn't see it coming, Trent.
No.
Not at all. I did not. I thought the Cubs and the Cards would be flipped.
And if the playoffs started today,
they're in.
They would be traveling to San Diego to take on the... No, they'd be traveling to Milwaukee for the three-gamer. And it would be Atlanta hosting San Diego.
Does Atlanta hold on? They still got a lot of talent on that roster.
They're 10 games over 500.
No, I know. They're still... I sold all my Braves. I did. But that's still... I don't think they can win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still a talented roster.
Yes. Still got Olsen and Azuna.
Yes.
And Albies.
Yes.
And Arcia.
Right.
And Riley.
Riley.
That's...
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty good start. Harris will be back off the IL here, I think, in a couple of days. A rotation... Still has.
Yeah, they got Chris Sale.
You got Chris Sale at the top.
And Freed.
That's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
How about Lopez? His ERA is south of 2.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's
July.
Maybe it's premature selling on my part.
Why you selling all those? Better buy some back.
Oh, man. What was I into yesterday?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's kind of
you went
how
down
I wake
a rabbit
up
hole again?
Yeah, I wake up every morning. What did we do last night on the app? Uh-oh. Anyways, it's time for Trent's Plays of the Day. They are coming up next. It is a full slate of baseball today, so I'm sure there'll be some of that. Your Indiana Fever play tonight in Las Vegas, taking on Kate Martin's Aces. What's the number in that game? Have you looked?
13.5.
Is it that big?
It's big.
Did they move to T-Mobile for this one? Is this one of the games that moved?
I think this was the one, if memory serves, yeah.
Mm. Have you been to T-Mobile?
I have not.
Well, you'll check that box next week.
Yeah, next Wednesday. What are we going to?
We're going to see Team USA versus Team Canada men's Olympic basketball.
I've never seen the U.S. national team.
You're about to.
And I'm going to do it against the Canadian lads.
Against Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. You know who begged out and I was kind of pissed
Edie.
Off? At, yes.
I was too.
You're Canadian.
Yeah.
You're a Canadian. I mean, doesn't that matter anymore? I think I would rather win a gold medal representing Team Canada than win a Stanley Cup.
Really?
I honestly would.
Huh.
Let's see.
No, I mean, 80's not the difference with them meddling or not. But if you got, I mean, he's 7'4".
Now, what's the realistic path of me being at that level?
Well,
let's see.
Of course not. Me too.
Baseball or basketball? I was awful at both. I guess baseball, I was a tick better.
Well, dream. You're out in the driveway by yourself.
I'd rather win a World Series than a gold medal for baseball.
Well, that, yeah, it's different.
It's a Stanley Cup. You say it's the best sport.
Well, it is the best trophy.
Best trophy in sport. You don't want to win that thing?
But I would rather my team, my favorite team plays every 4 years.
Oh, Canada.
God, I love my anthem. Did you hear him singing in Edmonton?
Yes.
It's so good.
It was excellent.
It's so easy to sing.
There were some other things happening in Edmonton,
yes,
too.
Yes, there were. Woo. It didn't help. Well, it got him 7 games, and she made a whole lot of money.
Yes, she did.
Good for her. It's quarter to one. Trends plays of the day are next. It's sponsored by Circus Sports. It's Miller and Condon, a 106.3 KXNO.
Trends Pick of the Day is brought to you by Circus Sports. Download the Circus Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Final couple of minutes before we turn things over at the top of the hour. The Colin Cowherd Show takes you until 3. The Drive with Heather and Sean, 3 until 6. Again, the 1 to 3 time slot for the time being is how we're phrasing that here in the building. Trent, your plays of the day is a full slate of baseball, some WNBA action. Are you playing soccer? We're not playing soccer. You're betting soccer?
Yes, we'll be betting soccer. After yesterday, Mr. Soccer, as I'm known.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, we hit the draw in the Portugal matchup yesterday. We hit Uruguay. Both of those big hits, plus 185 on Uruguay, plus 425 with the draw in regulation with the Portugal matchup yesterday. So we're going back to the well with the draw again here this afternoon. Turkey against Austria, plus 240 if we get a draw through regulation time there. And we go to penalties, plus 240 the price in that one. WNBA, I'm laying it with the Aces tonight after that great performance by the Fever. Maybe a step back. And Vegas is getting healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We know this is a completely different team after what we saw kind of weeks 3 through 6 for them where they were so banged up. They're playing at a high level. Vegas -13.5 tonight. 3 in baseball. Give me the Mariners. Even money plus 100 against the Orioles at home. Great pitching matchup if you're looking for something. Rodriguez against Kirby tonight in that one. Going to lay it with the Rangers -108 as they take on the Padres. Dylan Cease against Eovaldi. Another nice pitching matchup
it is,
there.
Yeah.
And finally, fading the Twins tonight against one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, Scooble.
He is incredible.
And he's fun to watch.
Yes.
He is dynamic, mm-hmm. going up against Simeon Woods Richardson. That I don't want to say he's pitching on borrowed time.
Trent, he's had his good moments, yes.
He's been above what you'd expect, though, from a guy like that. I'll grab the Tigers.
Because he's, what, they're 5?
Yeah. And he was a guy that you were hoping with the injuries and when he got called up, could he give him a couple of starts and at least give him 4 innings of time? He's been so much better than that. But a lot of the outlying metrics don't say that he's quite at the level that he has been, and that's why jumping on the Tigers tonight. Tigers, Rangers, Mariners, Aces, and a draw in Turkey, Austria.
Are the Phillies a big favorite over the Cubs tonight, you know?
Let me bring it up here. I think it was pretty substantial.
Yeah, Wisniewski's pitching for the Cubs. I don't know who is for the Phillies.
No. Oh, because the Phillies are starting something. Mercado. The Cubs are favored. Minus 120. Phillies plus 110. Don't you just almost...
I see the TBS has the coverage of that one. I'm not sure if that means Marquee is out, but if you don't have it, TBS has the Phillies and the Cubs, according to the schedule at ESPN.com.
You talked me into it. Add the Phillies to the card.
The Phillies.
Plus 110, blindly, knowing nothing about their starting pitcher. This is a dangerous way to live, but I live dangerously. I also left $10 a time, so it's not like we're talking about the mortgage here that I'm betting by any means. But all right, so it's the Tigers, the Phillies, the Rangers, and the Mariners now in baseball for my picks of the day.
All right, that is going to do it for us here today. Cowherd is coming up next, or his show. I believe it's Doug Gottlieb. At least he was in the chair yesterday. No local programming here on Thursday or on Friday. We're off on Friday. At least the afternoon shows are. The morning show, they march to their own drummer. More power to them. We'll see if they're on. Well, we'll hear if they're on. Have a great rest of your day. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.